Afternoon Drive with John Matham
on Cape Talk.
I got an email earlier today from somebody who said to me, this is quite interesting, and included in the email, Karina Bruvere, it's time to tell my story. It is a tale of hope interrupted, a dream turned into a nightmare of injustice, but it will always remain a tale of hope because this is the part that I control and I refuse to give that up. Violinist, musician, extreme swimmer, fundraiser, Karina Bruvere, good afternoon.
Hi, John. Thank you so much for having me.
Okay. And, I mean, it is a story of a dream of living in a particular home and living in a particular way with your children turned sour. It's quite a long story, but can you give us the highlights or the lowlights?
It is indeed. Yeah, well, it's mostly lowlights, really. In January, I made an offer to purchase on this beautiful home. You know, I'd just been through a divorce, and it's not been the easiest past couple of years. And this was going to, yeah, represent sort of our future, our new unconventional family. We're still all very friendly and happy, but yeah, it was a symbol of hope in this new future. We had an offer to purchase that was co-signed. The seller then received another higher offer. Long story short, I was forced in a very unpleasant way to up my offer, which I did. In retrospect, I'm not sure if it was lawful, but this will be determined later, I hope. Jump ahead about 2-3 months, and I took occupation and realized this house was full of defects that weren't disclosed to me. And obviously, after what happened earlier, I was quite vocal about the fact that there were things, there were irregularities, and there were many, many. There's definitely no time to go through all of these now. With electrics and the plumbing and absolutely everything. And the transferring attorney said that you know, I must just send him a report of all these irregularities, and he will make sure that it's considered. And then if we have to, we'll keep some money in trust once the transfer has gone through, so that all these defects and problems will be reasonably resolved without delaying transfer. Anyway, I did so. It took me about 2 or 3 weeks to put everything together, get all the evidence, get all the specialist reports. And suddenly this transferring attorney just stopped responding to my emails, stopped responding to my calls. He became very quiet. And two weeks later, I received a letter basically nailed onto my front door of a breach of contract, placing me in breach of contract upon grounds that were completely manufactured, I believe. and they now... trying to cancel, they are. They, in fact, they've said they've now cancelled the purchase, and they're trying to evict me from this house.
What is the breach of contract that you are alleged to have committed, Karina?
Firstly, they say they never received the guarantee from my attorney, but they did receive it on the 28th of February or whenever they. And we have full proof that they did, and they later acknowledged that they did in fact receive it. They're saying I was trying to delay transfer by signing my bond documents late. At that time, and it was a week later than transfer was supposed to be, but at that time they hadn't done the compliance certificates. There were so many things outstanding from the seller. I was waiting for divorce papers to come through, so you know I had to wait for that to happen. And also, a delay is not actually a breach, so that's already ruled out. And the third is the fact that they're saying I didn't pay occupational rent. Now, they never sent me a statement to pay occupational rent. When they did send it to me, I replied and said, and I followed up to a telephonic conversation where I said to them, listen, you know, I've been facilitating contractors and people. I've been occupying a non-compliant place. Can we kindly discuss a reduction in occupational rent? Respectfully, what is your suggestion? These were my words. And he never replied. And then 2 weeks later, I received this letter, upon which I immediately paid all the occupational rent that was allegedly due. And still, he just kept quiet. And then I started receiving these letters of cancellation and threats of eviction. So, you know, I believe it was completely premeditated. And And yeah, it turns out that they are wanting me, they're trying to basically fearmonger me into signing a new agreement, because they know I'm not going to give the house up, you know.
So a new agreement which accepts the defects that you found?
Yes, exactly, where I sign away my rights, basically, and say thank you very much for this lovely home and being so kind to welcome me into this space, pretty much. And obviously, I'm not ever going to do that. And it's no longer about money at all, really. It's just about the way they treat people. You know, I'm not the only person who has suffered under this transaction. It's the compliance companies. It's the neighbors. It's unbelievable. It's like a bad soap opera, really. I'm almost sort of tired of talking about it. But I'm very motivated by the injustice, the fact that this person, the seller, she's a clinical psychologist, firstly, and the fact that she can happily instruct the transferring attorney, who's also supposed to be looking after my rights and making sure that this transaction is handled fairly, that they can combine forces and threaten me with eviction. It's beyond words. It's beyond words. And after I've actually done that post, has been phenomenal. And it's also really just motivated me to keep going, because so many other people have been suffering such injustices, and it can't continue.
I mean, they got from you the same amount of money that they would have got from the second offer that they received, and then in your version of events, you were dragooned into matching that offer. So it's not as if they are going to get any more money out of kicking you out of the house. How much money would they save by your accepting the defects as part of a Footstoots arrangement?
You're asking what are the defects, what's the value of the defects?
Yeah.
I'd say, look, it was on about 400,000 rand.
Okay,
and
so
obviously this needs to be...
money.
Yeah, but this needs to be verified, and I believe that I've got full proof that there was full awareness of these defects, but, you know, these things need to be proved and verified. But at the moment, you know, I haven't been able to sleep for 4 months. I haven't been able to focus on my work or on my children. So, you know, if and when we go to the High Court, I feel that my claim will be for much more than that. And that is what's so shocking. I really, really, really didn't expect it to get here. You know, when I corresponded with the transferring attorney with huge respect and fairness, I just said, look, what I'd like to discuss is a settlement, and let's just come to an agreement that's where we all feel we can move on. And he's just completely turned against me and ignored so much of my correspondence. I don't know.
Okay, well, this story has some legs still to run with. Please do keep me in touch, Karina. I think you have my email address if there are developments, because I know people listening to this are going to, in a couple of weeks, a couple of months, going to go, what happened to Karina Brevaert's house story? So please keep me in touch with what's going on.
Yeah. No, I will do. Thank you. And I think this fight is about much more than me and my family. It's just about people can't do this. And they're not going to do it to me. I'm sorry. No.
Karina Brevaert.